your finger in for more if you do like a couple more verses after, between things, you know. I forgot to look in my office. Does anyone happen to have a pocket mirror? Like a mirror, like in your pocketbook, or like, because sometimes people have like a small mirror. No? I tried, Arlene didn't. I have like a whole box of mirrors in my office, but that's a lot further away now. We can all use our imaginations if we don't have one. Yeah, well, that's how the kids do it these days, is they just like, but there becomes a problem with that for later, but yeah, the kids these days will just like use their phone with the screen off to use it as a mirror, which is great. Oh, you have a mirror app? No, it's fine. If we are, what do mirrors do? They reflect. Is it the actual image? It's a mirror image. So it's not really the real thing, which is like why streamers, when they're streaming, they have like a setting so that their display shows the mirror image of the mirror image, so that they like know if they move to the right, like it's moving to the, like it messes with their head less, and then it looks right on stream, and so you can actually read whatever is written there if they're like holding something up. But it like helps them kind of like mentally do it. But like that's like when you're learning how to drive, there's the, when you're looking in the rearview mirror, you're like, what, how does that, I don't, which way is that, I don't know, right? So today's story is about someone who reflects Jesus but isn't Jesus. So reading from our Kids Stuff Bulletin. John the Baptist had some amazing things to say about God. Lots and lots of people came to hear him talk and be baptized by him. Some of the church leaders were curious about him. Are you God's promised Messiah, the one we've been waiting for? One asked. No, answered John. Are you the prophet Elijah, come back to life? Asked another. Nope. The leaders frowned. Well, then who are you? One demanded. I am the one God called to prepare the way. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with God's own Holy Spirit. He is the Messiah, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of... Wait, what? The Messiah is already here? John smiled. Yep. And his name is Jesus, and it's my job to get people ready for him. So who were the people waiting for? The Messiah. What is a Messiah?
Savior.
Savior. The fancy word is, it's like it translates to anointed one. What's the whole point of an anointed one or a savior?
To guide you.
To guide you. Lead God's people.
To redeem you.
To redeem. Yeah, and especially since they had this belief that like, it would come from the Davidic line, so like another king like David to kind of like get things back together, because after David there was his son, and then after his son there was no longer a united kingdom. So it's kind of like yearning back to the days when they were a single people in a single place with a single ruler that helped kind of pull them together. So was John the Messiah? No. Who did John say he was? A voice in the wilderness? Which is such an interesting way to do that. It's like, who are you? Let me quote some scripture at you. That's who I am. Very fun way to answer that question. Even I can't do that most of the time. So just like the image in the mirror, he's not the actual image, right? He was a reflection. He shined God's love and the promise of Jesus back at the people who were looking for Jesus. Do you remember the fun little box last week?
Yes.
Yeah. Joanna was teaching, was it Susan, right? You were telling her about it? Yeah. Because it ended up in my trash, and so then Susan was like, what is this? Why is that there? So, you know. And so just like how last week we talked about Jesus representing, being represented by light, the interesting thing is what happens when you shine a light in a mirror. It reflects, it seems bigger. You get light back, right? As opposed to, like, because light is so pure of an image that, like, it's not really fully distortable. Maybe if you have, like, a wonky mirror, like one of those fun mirror fun houses that are not fun but just quite terrifying, then it would be a distortion. But, like, most mirrors, the idea is that you're reflecting the light back, literally. This is why it would be a little hard to do with, like, a phone or a mirror app. But, yeah. And so, the idea is that we're each all mirrors, just like John. We can reflect Jesus' light and love and hope and joy into the whole world. What are some ways that we might do that? Kind deeds.
Volunteerism.
Volunteerism.
Volunteer.
Compassion. There was another one.
Welcome.
What's up?
Welcome.
Welcome people. Yeah, Matthew 25 is what that sounded like, right? Sometimes I know scripture references, and it's surprising when I do. like, I think the Beatitudes happen to be in Matthew 8, maybe. Or there's eight of them, and I think that's that, but there might be, I don't know. But yeah, Matthew 25. Yeah, right? That's the beauty of being Methodist, is that we all generally know what's in there, but, like, don't ask us where. That's what a search is for. Yeah, so, like, taking care of the hungry, feeding the hungry, taking care of the homeless, going to prisons and taking care of the prisoners, which meant very different things in Jesus' time versus our time. Yeah.
Seeing the forgotten.
Yeah, that reminds me of Howard Thurman says that God shows up for those with their back against the wall. And a lot of liberation theologians talk about how God has a preferential option for the poor, that those that are most cast aside, God seeks out the most, which we kind of hear in our triple parables. So let us pray. God, we are so grateful for the witness of John the Baptist, and we pray that we too may be able to be your light in this world, so that we can reflect the pure love that you send to us and allow it to radiate from us and help transform the world into a new place. Amen. All right, so let's do a few more verses of carols. What else we got? 239, and what else?
249.
Ooh, where's that one at? Okay, so we'll do those. All right, 239, 249, and 238, because we're just going to keep us jumping around the hymnal, and maybe we'll know all of the hymns that are in this section by the time we're done. Do you want to do them in numerical order to make your life easier? Okay, so we'll do 239 first. Yeah, I'll say the numbers in between. Does that sound more helpful? All right, so first verse of 239. Jumping back to 238. They're going to have to stand up for this one. Harold, I'll stand for this one. Be seated. And I'll keep this nice and brief. God, you are the one who equips us to be your love and to reflect your love into the world. So may your Spirit be with us to train us and lead us here today. Amen. So very, very briefly, in our text today, the religious leaders have heard a fuss about the work of John in the wilderness and his followers and wondered if he were the Messiah, Elijah, or just another prophet. And feel free to go to the next slide. There we go. And so John replies with a quote from Isaiah saying that he's just the one who helps get people on the path that connects them with God. And if they're really looking for the Messiah, I know the guy you're looking for. And then the text jumps to the next day, and Jesus apparently has arrived this time, and John proclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Which, fun fact that we found out in Bible study this week, there's exactly two times the Lamb of God is a phrase ever used in the biblical text, and it is this text, and then next week. It is only twice ever. So he's like, "Look, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the guy I was talking about." You would believe John if you were there the other day, because he was the one when he was baptizing people. It was just a regular Tuesday, and until the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism, proving to John that he was definitely the Messiah. When people saw the good works of John and his followers, they wondered if he was in fact the Messiah. Instead, he was testifying, witnessing, proclaiming the Messiah. And the only way he knew to accurately proclaim the gospel was by just sharing the story of how he knew that God was present in Jesus at that moment. And so today, I wanted to give us just a few minutes to practice, to talk to each other a little bit, and really just practice sharing our stories with one another so that we can share our stories with others that we encounter If it's a little too small on the slide, it's also on the digital bulletin. But I'm not even going to give you enough time to really talk about all of the questions. I'm really just going to say, grab a couple people around you and share from whichever question stands out to you. And the first is a fun one, which is, who was God to you when you were a child? And then the second one is one of my favorite questions ever asked during a seminary class to me. It was a class on Christology, which is like, what does Jesus mean, is what Christology is talking about. And so the question is, what holiday on the church calendar is your favorite and why? And so for those who don't know all of them, I don't think I remembered all of them, but I listed some of the most popular seasons and holidays. So Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Ash Wednesday, Holy Week, which I... Yes, there's Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, all in Holy Week, but I was getting tired of writing things. Easter Saturday, Easter Sunday, Pentecost, All Saints Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, or ones that I just didn't remember, because there's a handful that are just like United Methodist tradition. Like there's Camp Sunday, there's Boy Scout Sunday if we had a troop tied to us. There's a whole bunch of other Sundays that we have throughout the calendar year. And then the last one, is there a particular time in your past that you notice God at work in your life? And I'm really just going to give us only like 3-4 minutes. So if you're only in groups of like 3 or 4, that gives like each person like a minute to share from one of the questions. Low stakes, super chill. Sound easy enough? All right, so go ahead and turn around to some neighbors or collect some neighbors if you're only like a pair or trio. And... give us a little bit of time. Would anyone like to briefly share with the whole group any of their thoughts for these? And maybe the nice, short, easy one is we don't have to get into the why. We had some interesting... Well, which question were you thinking about talking about, Carol?
Yes, favorite holiday. We all agree.
All right, so they're a whole group of Christmas. I'm an Easter Saturday girly. Anyone else? Favorite holiday in the Christmas calendar? Anybody?
Easter.
Your favorite? I like Easter Saturday, which is like an obscure holiday to like, but I'm... Yeah.
Easter Sunday? I like Pentecost Sunday.
Oh, that's when you joined. It's when your son was baptized. It's when you joined. Yeah. Pentecost is a really good Sunday to do new memberships and baptisms and stuff and confirmation. Another one that, so there used to be church tradition was to do baptisms on Easter Saturday, because then you were immersed with Christ, and then you enter into the resurrection the next day, which was like an interesting one.
I know it's not going to be popular, but my favorite is Ash
Wednesday. I never remember the phrase that you're supposed to say when you're at the imposition of ashes, but it's like, remember, you came from ashes, and to ashes you'll return is the thing. But there's a but in there, which makes it so... Yeah. Some versions have a but in there, like B-U-T, and every once in a while there's typos in bulletins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember you are but dust. Which, like, if you spell that wrong.
For us, I think that holiday has become more meaningful
over
the years, because in our former church, in the church I grew up in, we never got ashes.
Mm.
It was only the Catholic congregations that got ashes. You know, so that was a new thing for us in coming to the Methodist church.
Mm.
And it's very meaningful.
Yeah, that, you know, finding good meaning in the ashes. Trying to remember to repeat things for when Carol listens. So my hope was to give us the opportunity to show that, like, bearing witness doesn't have to be like a turn or burn, stand on the corner with the megaphone style, right? We can just share, like, and talking about like why that's your favorite holiday gets to the what God is doing in your life side of things. So these are just like really simple ways to talk about people. We'll talk about the goodness of God with people. So let us pray. God, we are so grateful that throughout the diversity of human experiences, we have that same type of diversity across the church calendar to hold all the different ways of knowing your love and receiving your love within a cycle of a year. So we ask that you continue to be with us as we learn new ways to testify of your love so that we can then reflect your love as we love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. Amen.